Chapter 12. Cage. My heart sank. After less than an hour of investigation, Quinn had figured out where I was born. I didn't know what to think. On one hand, my skin prickled at the thought of what we would find if we dug deeper. On the other, Quinn said that my mother might still be alive. What if she was? What do you think happened? How do you think I ended up living here with... I took the ID from Quinn. With this man.
It's possible that your mother showed up to the hospital without ID and died giving birth, Quinn said.
But you don't believe that, I confirmed.
Your father broke into houses and stole things of value. It would follow that he stole you too.
Why would he do that?
He saw you as something having value? I don't know.
But why me?
Because you were the only one available, maybe. Perhaps he saw something in you and knew who you would turn out to be.
You think he saw that he could turn me into his NFL cash cow?
Maybe.
That's ridiculous. I was a baby. How could he know that?
Maybe you weren't a baby when he took you. Maybe you were older, but too young to remember another life. I'm really just guessing here,
Quinn admitted, embarrassed. Then how do we find out for sure? I said, pushing him to figure out more about where I came from. Quinn thought for a second, and then turned back to me with a light in his eyes.
There are a few things. The first is, we need to check to see if any children matching your age and description ever went missing.
What's the second thing?
We need to find that hospital,
Quinn said, with an intensity I had never seen him express. The man I was watching put clues together was different than the insecure guy I dragged into the party the night we met. Or the one playing flag football with 10-year-olds. He was attractive before, but now he was off the charts hot. God, was I in love with him. If I didn't think that it would distract him from uncovering the secrets of my past, I would kiss him so hard. Watching his incredible brain focus on me was a level of affection that made me feel seen in a way that throwing a pass never could. How would I ever be able to let him go? I didn't even know if I could stand to watch him drive away from me for a night. I was head over heels for this guy, and I never wanted to be apart from him again.
My phone service is really bad here. Do you have a computer I can hop onto?
No.
You don't have a computer?
I always just use the one at school. The university has computer labs, and so did my high school. Quinn looked at me stunned. My father preferred to stay off the grid.
Considering what he did, I can understand why.
You can use my phone if you need to look something up. It's slow, but it gets online.
Okay. There are a couple of missing kids databases that I can check.
How do you know about missing kids databases? I asked, a little worried.
My parents are ungodly rich, and I was a first off the line Frankenstein creation. When you grow up knowing that, you wonder what a missing kids database looks like,
he said with a painful smile. Jesus. So, you lived your life in fear of being kidnapped?
And possibly murdered, yeah. There are a lot of people who believe that I shouldn't exist. I was always afraid that someone would figure out a way to correct that error,
he said, dropping his smile. The error of being born?
Yes.
Wow. I'm so sorry you grew up like that, I said, feeling my heart break for him.
It's all I knew,
he said, sounding familiar. Realizing he had repeated what I had said on purpose, it broke the tension. I chuckled. Well, let's check if I lived your nightmare, I said, handing him my phone.
Not my entire nightmare.
Right, because I wasn't murdered.
I was talking about showing up to class and realizing I'm naked. But I guess that too,
he said with a smile. I guess it's true what they say. One man's nightmare is another man's fantasy. Because you showing up at class naked would be the start of a very good day for me. Quinn looked up from my phone and blushed. God, was he adorable. I'm distracting you. I'm sorry. Let me let you get to work. I'll warm up one of the pizzas for lunch. Are you hungry?
There are things I wouldn't mind getting into my mouth, but I don't know if it's pizza.
Quinn immediately regretted what he said.
I'm sorry. I'm not very good at flirting. I guess I like you so much that I forget how to use words sometimes.
Did you just say you liked me? I said, feeling it swirl around my insides like warm caramel.
Of course I like you. I've liked you from the moment I saw you at the party. The night we met, I was hoping you were going to take me home and do things to me. I could barely breathe the weeks I was away from you.
And that was when I kissed him. His lips were soft peach pressed against mine. Tense at first, they slowly loosened. As they did, I slid my hand around the nape of his neck, pushing my fingers through his curly dark hair. His head fell into my grasp. Gently parting my lips, he followed. Tilting my head, my tongue entered his mouth in search of his. They touched with a spark. Curving the tip of my tongue, inviting his, our tongues danced with one another. Tingles raced up and down my body holding him. My cock grew hard as I lost myself. Not knowing if Quinn wanted this, I loosened my grip about to let go. That was when Quinn pushed his hands up my side and onto my back. He pulled my chest onto his, removing the space between us. When he did, my hard cock pressed onto him. The blood that rushed to my head made me lightheaded. I wanted to be with him so badly that I ached for him. And when I felt his hard cock pushing against my thigh, I nearly lost it. I pulled my lips away from his, burying my cheek into his mess of hair.
"Don't stop,"
he whispered, making it even harder for me to let him go. "I shouldn't distract you. This is important to me," I told him, not sure if it was more important than kissing him. Quinn didn't reply, nor did he move. We both kept holding each other, with our hard dicks pressed against one another. With him in my arms, I wondered what his soft lips would feel like around my cock. I flinched thinking about it. Quinn felt it, and his cock flinched in reply. Jesus, I wanted him. I wanted everything about him. But I wanted the first time we were together to be somewhere special and meaningful. I didn't want it to be an intermission from searching through records of kidnapped kids. And I didn't want it to be at the scene of a crime. "I really care about you," I whispered, my lips right above his ear.
"I care about you too,"
Quinn told me before slowly loosening his grip. Our release was gradual and painful. It took everything in me to peel off of him.
"If your mother's still alive, we'll find her, I promise," he told me.
I believed him. If there was anyone in the world who could figure it out, it had to be him. "Thank you," I said, struggling to take my eyes off of him. "I'll warm up that pizza."
"Thanks. I'll get back to the search."
We were both quiet for a while after that. I was quiet because my mind was spinning. I wasn't sure why he was, but occasionally he would look at me and catch me staring at him. I didn't know why I couldn't hold his gaze. I was a nervous teenager when I was around him. What was he doing to me? Whatever it was, I didn't want him to stop. I placed the sliced pizza on the table where he sat locked in on my phone. Smelling it, he looked up.
"You're not in any of these,"
he said, disappointed. "How could you be sure?"
"I can't be completely, but you do have one distinguishing characteristic that should have been obvious even as an infant."
"What could that be?"
"Your dimples,"
Quinn said with a smile.
"You might not have had all of them, but chin dimples are pretty consistent throughout a person's life."
"You sure know a lot about dimples," I said, teasing him.
"I have a weakness,"
he replied. "Dimples?"
"No, you,"
he said, making my legs quiver. "I don't think you give yourself enough credit for your flirting skills."
"I guess I needed the inspiration,"
he said, saying exactly the right thing to make me want to kiss him again. "What do we do now?" I asked, open to anything.
"I would suggest that we go to the hospital, but there's a problem."
"What's that?"
"The hospital doesn't exist."
I looked at him confused. "So my father's ID is fake?"
"I don't think it is, because the place used to exist. I can find records of it online. It just isn't there anymore. I've checked maps. It doesn't appear on any of them."
"Can you find the address?"
"Yeah."
"Then we should go. If nothing else, at least I'll see where I was born. Is it close?"
"Is an hour and a half away close?"
I looked at the kitchen clock. We would get there around 4 p.m.
"We should get going if we are. Are we going to do this?"
"There's no reason to stop now."
"Do you think there's a chance we could run into your father along the way?"
Quinn asked hesitantly. Honestly, I don't think I'll ever see that man again, whoever he was.
How do you feel about that?
Quinn asked, intensely staring at me.
I mean, I know he wasn't your biological father, but he still raised you.
But did he steal me away from someone who would have loved me like he couldn't or didn't want to? Quinn didn't reply. What I know is if it comes down to him or you, Quinn, I choose you. It was hard to hear me say that. Quinn was right. He still raised me. And up until he finally left, my greatest nightmare was that he would take off. But then he did it. And Quinn confirmed all the things about him that I had suspected for a long time. I didn't know who the man who had pretended to be my father was, and allowing it to swirl around in my head, I had to wonder if he had ever loved me. On the other hand, I couldn't be sure about how Quinn felt about me either, but I was pretty sure I loved him. What was more, I needed him. Quinn was the man I couldn't live without. Not the one who made me feel like I was worthless. Finishing off the pizza, the two of us got into my truck and headed out. How can you not know how to drive? I asked, giving him a hard time.
I grew up in Manhattan. Who needs a car there?
Didn't you say you spent your summers in the Bahamas on an island?
I did. And if this was a golf cart, I would be all over it. But since you probably want to survive the trip, you should drive. If you're flexible on that point, I could certainly take over.
No, no. Surviving a car ride is always something I look forward to.
There you go. But don't say I didn't offer,
he said, looking at me with one of his adorable smiles. During the hour and a half drive there, I asked a lot of the questions I didn't think I could ask before. Have you ever had a boyfriend?
No, have you?
No. Girlfriend?
No. What about you? Anyone before Tasha?
A few. There was a girl I dated my freshman year. That didn't last long. There were a couple of girls I dated in high school, but none of those were very serious.
Have you ever been in love before?
Quinn asked, pulling out the big guns. I thought I was in love with Tasha. I mean, we could have been at one point. It's hard to tell now. I certainly had feelings for her. But now, I'm wondering if what I felt for her qualifies.
Qualifies as love?
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely something. Just not... Let's just say I've been given reasons to rethink things.
I see.
Quinn asked, not asking any more. What about you? Have you ever been in love?
I thought I was.
Really? I asked, surprised.
He was a real prince.
He was a nice guy, huh?
No. I mean, he was an actual prince. I don't think he saw me that way, though. And he was a lot older than me.
How much older? I asked, not expecting to hear that.
I don't know.
No, tell me. Was he like 10 years older or something?
Probably closer to 15. But he was a great guy. I thought we had a lot in common.
You thought you had a lot in common with a prince?
A few things.
That was when I dropped the topic. If Quinn thought he had a lot in common with a real-life prince, what did that say about the two of us? I was as far away from being a prince as you could get. I grew up in a small cabin in the middle of nowhere, raised by someone who probably kidnapped me, and now I could barely afford to buy food. What type of shot did the two of us have to be together? I was starting to think that it wasn't much of one.
We're getting close,
Quinn said, staring at the trees as they whipped by the window. How can you tell? Is that one of your superpowers?
No. The mile markers correspond with the addresses.
I didn't know that.
Not every state does it, and not everywhere in the state is consistent.
There doesn't seem to be much out here, I said, scanning the tree-lined, empty road ahead.
It's close. Wait, turn there,
Quinn said, pointing at a path through the trees which could barely be considered a road. I turned onto it, and it wasn't long until a two-story decaying facility came into view. It was off-white and looked like a school with its alternatingly protruding exterior. The many windows were boarded up, and much of them were graffitied.
Falls County Hospital,
Quinn said, reading the sign above the main entrance.
This is where he worked.
And this might be where I was born.
It's a possibility.
So, why are we here, detective?
I don't know. I figured if we were standing in front of it, we'd know what to do next.
Quinn and I got out of the truck and stared at the building. "You don't suppose there are any records still inside, do you?" I asked.
"No, health records are sensitive information. They would have moved them first."
"Then I don't know what we're going to find here," I told him.
"Neither do I. But let's say that you were born here. The chances are that this was your mother's closest hospital, right?"
"She might have been traveling at the time and had simply stumbled onto this place after going into labor. That could be why they didn't know her name."
"That's a possibility. But most women late in their third trimester aren't much up for long road trips. I think the most likely scenario is that this was the closest hospital to where she lived."
"Okay. So what does that mean?"
"It means that she came from one of the surrounding communities."
"You saw the map. There's nothing out here but long roads and trees." Quinn looked at me.
"We should take a drive."
"Okay," I said, not wanting to disagree with him. Quinn's eyes darted around like his brain was in overdrive. We got back into the truck and circled through the driveway toward the empty road. "Which way?" I asked him.
"We saw what was back that way on the drive here. Let's keep going on this road," Quinn said, completely engaged.
Before now, I didn't realize how interesting it could be to watch somebody think. Looking over as much as I could, I watched his eyes scan every tree and every bend in the road for evidence. This was my guy doing this. I knew that I couldn't officially claim him as my guy, but it still turned me on to think it. When we approached a road to the left, he stared at it intensely. "What's up?"
"Where do you think that goes? Why would a county put it there? It's not large enough to be a through road to a highway. Yet the county had to pay for it, which means there had to be someone who convinced the members of the budget committee. Make a turn,"
he decided. I did what I was told. For a long stretch, the new road was identical to the one we had turned off of. The elevation was increasing, though. And pretty soon, we were both wishing we brought our jackets. When we saw snow on the ground, we knew we had entered the Great Smoky Mountains. "It's beautiful," I said, awestruck by how the setting sun cast shadows behind the snow-tipped trees that extended like waves into the distance.
"What? Oh, yeah,"
Quinn said, momentarily seeing the forest instead of the trees. "Could you imagine seeing this view every day? How incredible would that be?" I said, thinking I was saying it to Quinn, but ended up saying it to myself.
"There, look.
Welcome to Snowtip Falls. Talk about being off the map. This place is actually missing from the map. Do you think people still live here?"
"There's only one way to find out,"
Quinn said with a smile. Continuing for another half mile, we approached what appeared to be deteriorating walls on either side of the road. "Is that a wall? Do you think it's private property?"
"There's a chance this used to be, but if it still is, they're doing a horrible job of maintaining security. The walls only run for 10 feet.
"It looks like they used to be longer.
With the overgrowth on the rubble, it doesn't look like anyone has tried to repair it in a decade."
"Do you think we should keep going?" I asked, second-guessing our decision.
"If they didn't want us to be here, why would they put a welcome sign?"
"Good point," I said, speeding up and very quickly seeing our first buildings. It really was a functioning town, and there were more signs of life than I would have guessed. Although the town was sparse, there was a gas station, a restaurant, and what looked like a mom-and-pop grocery shop. "What do we do?" I asked the detective, who was scanning the town as intensely as everything else.
"Let's go in and say hi."
"You want to be social? You? The guy I had to force to go to a party?" I said, tickled.
"Somewhere here can be answers to your past. I don't want to set up unreal expectations, but your mother could have lived here. It's possible that she still does."
Pain gripping my chest, hearing Quinn's words. He was right. If my father did work at the hospital, and that hospital was the closest one, this might have been where she lived. My heart pounded at the possibility. "Where do we go?"
"Should we see if the general store has jackets?"
I parked the truck in front of the quaint wooden building and took a breath.
"Are you okay?"
Quinn asked, watching me stare at the building. "It's a little overwhelming."
"I don't want you to get your hopes up. This could just be another town in the middle of nowhere."
"Right. Or it could be where I find out the thing I've been wondering about my whole life."
"It could be that too. but we can't expect it to be.
You're right. I need to rein it in. Okay, I'm good. The two of us left the comfort of our heated truck and were hit by the biting cold evening air. I had a bit of bulk to me to keep me warm, but I could see the cold air cut through Quinn like a knife. It was only a few feet to the door, but I quickly wrapped my arms around him to keep him warm. This was the first time I held him like this. It aroused me immediately. Scrambling into the general store, I wasn't quick to let him go. A bell sounded when we entered. Still holding Quinn, a portly, dark-skinned man with a friendly face approached.
"Can I help you two?"
he said in a way that immediately made me wonder if he was gay. "Yes, do you sell jackets?" I said, forgetting that Quinn was still in my arms and that there was anything unusual about it.
"We sell a few. They're right over here," he said, leading us to the far side of the small store. "You two here to check out the falls?"
"The falls?" Quinn asked, as he held onto my waist, not allowing me to let go.
"Sure. There are a group of falls a few miles away. They make for an incredible view in this time of year."
"I bet they do," I replied. "Quint, that sounds amazing."
"You should check them out. Unfortunately, it's getting dark, so you probably wouldn't want to go tonight."
"That does sound amazing, but we're just driving through, and we have a long drive back," Quinn said, as if he had a plan.
"Stay over. There's a bed and breakfast close by."
"Maybe we'll check it out. But we're actually wondering about the town's history. How long has this place been here?"
Quinn asked casually. "The town? Since the 1920s. It started as a hub for moonshine running."
"Really?"
I asked, intrigued. "Yes. It's all very interesting. But the person who could tell you more about it is Sonia. She's the one who runs the B&B. She's kind of the town's unofficial historian. My husband also knows quite a bit, but Sonia is the one who enjoys talking about it. Tom can be a bit of a grump sometimes. You two married?"
It was only then that I let go of Quinn. I don't know why I did. It wasn't like the idea of marriage scared me, and it wasn't like I wouldn't consider spending my life with Quinn. I guess I wasn't ready to be asked something like that, considering Quinn and I were still just figuring things out.
"No," I volunteered so Quinn wouldn't have to. "Just friends."
"Good friends,"
Quinn added, making me feel tingly.
"How did you two meet?"
"We attend East Tennessee University. He was a brilliant tutor. I was the dumb jock," I said with a chuckle.
"Yep. My Tom is the brilliant one between us. He's a doctor. I think it's important to find someone out of your own league," he said, giving me a wink.
I laughed. "Well, Quinn here is definitely out of my league."
"That's not true," Quinn objected. "You're out of my league, the star quarterback."
"Not anymore," I told our new friend as I pointed at my cast.
"Oh," he said, looking down at it. "I think we also have some crutches around here somewhere. If you need to use them, I'll get them for you. You can just return them before you leave."
"Wow, thanks. I guess it is starting to hurt a little."
"I'll go get them," he said, quickly heading to the back of the store.
"He's so friendly," I told Quinn.
"He really is. Do you think we should stay over?"
"I thought you were saying that we should get back."
"I was just seeing what information he would volunteer. He's clearly trying to get us to stay."
"Isn't it cool that he thought we were together? And he was still being so friendly?" I asked.
"I noticed that too. I didn't expect to feel so welcome in Tennessee."
"Hold on there. There are a lot of welcoming people in Tennessee. You met me in Tennessee."
"You know what I mean. East Tennessee isn't exactly New York City."
"You mean because the whiskey's so much better?"
"Yes, that's exactly what I meant."
I looked at Quinn, surprised. "Is that sarcasm I detect?" Quinn looked at me as if I had caught him doing something wrong.
"No, sarcasm works on you. It gives you a bit of an edge," I said with a smile.
"So you like bad boys?"
"I like whatever you are," I told him, meaning it. Quinn stared into my eyes, melting my heart.
"I'm sorry about that. Took me a while to find them back there," the man said, returning to us.
"No problem," I said, tearing myself away from the guy I could look at for hours.
"We'll take these jackets,"
Quinn said, handing them to our friend.
"Oh, I don't think I can," Quinn cut me off.
"I got it."
"You sure?"
Of course, don't worry about it. Maybe you can think of some way of paying me back for it,
he said with a smile. Maybe, I replied. Yeah, he was getting good at flirting. I had to stick my hand in my pockets to hide how good he was getting at it.
I'm sorry, what was your name?
Quinn asked as he approached the cash register. Glenn.
Glenn from the general store, got it.
And you are? Glenn asked.
I'm Quinn, and this is Cage.
Nice to meet you too.
We actually believe that Cage has family near these parts.
Really? Which area?
We're not sure,
Quinn replied. It's a great area to be from, Glenn said with a smile.
Are there any Ruckers that live in town?
Ruckers? Not that I know of. Is that a married name?
It's his father's last name, his adopted father. We think Cage was born at Fall County Hospital.
Yeah, that place closed about 10 years ago. It was a real shame. Tom is now the only doctor in 50 miles.
Wow, I can't imagine that,
Quinn said genuinely. It does keep him busy. So, did you want directions to the bed and breakfast? Quinn looked back at me as if he was still thinking about it. I knew it wasn't up to me. I couldn't afford to pay for it if I wanted to.
Sure, why not?
Quinn said with a smile. Excellent. The place is run by Sonia. She likes it when you call her Dr. Sonia. Probably because Tom hates it. She's not a medical doctor, he says. I keep telling him, you don't have to be a medical doctor to be called a doctor. But he's just a grump, Glenn said with a smile. Slipping on our jackets, we returned to the truck, feeling really good about the town. Glenn made a great first impression. The bed and breakfast was a half mile away. It was easy to imagine the walk into town being a relaxing experience. It was now dark, but even in the shadows, the place looked like a postcard. The bed and breakfast had to be the highlight. It was a converted farmhouse and looked expensive. There was a large veranda surrounding the mocha shingled exterior and a short flight of stairs that led up to it. Standing outside the main door was a petite woman in her early 60s who wasn't wearing a jacket. She had to be freezing as she hugged herself for warmth.
Welcome,
the woman said with an engaging smile. Hello, I said, waiting for Quinn and putting my arm around him as we approached. If people were going to mistake us for a couple and Quinn was going to play along, I was going to make the most of it.
Glenn told me you'd be heading over. Come in, come in. It's cold out there.
Stepping inside, the interior didn't disappoint. It was quaint but clean and very well put together. The floors throughout and the walls of the entrance were dark honey wood. The living room furniture was beige with floral print and comfortable looking, and the small tables that lined the room were dark wood and elegant.
We can't afford to stay here,
I whispered to Quinn, before remembering that he summered on a private island.
I mean, I can't afford to stay here.
Don't worry about it,
Quinn said sincerely.
This is the upside of having to worry about being kidnapped every day. Let me share it with you,
he said with a smile. I felt uneasy watching him pay for our room without me being able to help, but I knew the only alternatives would be driving the 2 hours back or sleeping in my truck. I wasn't about to make Quinn suffer to satisfy my pride.
Okay,
I told him, knowing the only issues were in my head.
Glenn said you're in town to see the falls,
the energetic woman said in a faint Jamaican accent. Quinn? I said, not sure what he was going to say.
We're actually in town doing some family research for Cage.
Really? Do you have a family in the area?
She said, focusing her green eyes on me. We don't know. We're hoping, but your guess is as good as ours.
Well, you know this town used to be a pirate bay.
Pirates? I asked.
Not the kind who sailed on water. The kind that ran on land. One man started the town and then invited his moonshine friends to take up residence to lower the cost of distribution. It was quite successful.
Really? Wow, I said, fascinated.
Did you see the wall on the way in?
Yes, we saw that, I volunteered.
It used to surround the entire town. The school was the old distillery and warehouse. Glenn's general store was the financial offices. I could have Titus give you a tour in the morning if you want.
Titus?
Quinn asked.
He's someone about your age. He's a great guy, You'll love him. I'll let him know.
It was then that someone descended the stairs. He had Dr. Sonia's shiny dark hair and smaller build. He looked about 17, but could have been younger. And he didn't have anywhere near Dr. Sonia's rapid-fire energy. Mom, do you know where my sneakers are? I can't find them, he said, intently staring at the two of us.
If you put it back in the same place where you'd taken them off, you wouldn't have to go searching for them every other day,
Sonia said, with the exhaustion of a mother.
Mom,
he said, embarrassed.
I'll help you look for them later. Why don't you prepare room 2 for our guests? I'm sorry, what are your names?
I'm Cage, and this is Quinn.
You know me, and this is my son, Kali.
Hi, he said with a shy smile. The kid stared at us, fascinated. I didn't think he meant to be rude, but considering I was new to showing affection for another guy, it made me self-conscious.
Kali, now,
his mother said, sending him back upstairs. Sonia rolled her eyes as if to say, kids. Everyone's so friendly here, I told her, finally letting go of Quinn.
It's a very friendly town, and you two will find yourselves very comfortable here. Glenn and Tom are our resident gay couple, but don't think they are the only ones.
I used to teach at the school. Believe me, I know,
she said with a smile.
Have you lived here long?
Quinn asked again, turning into the detective.
I moved here 3 years before Kali was born. I was just fascinated by the history.
So, about 20 years?
This June,
Sonia said with a smile.
Time flies, doesn't it?
You wouldn't happen to know of any mothers dying during childbirth or any babies going missing about 21 or 22 years ago, would you?
Oh, goodness, no. That was before my time. But it's a small town. Gossip lingers. I haven't heard anything like that, though.
Is that what you two are researching?
It's a working theory,
Quinn said clinically.
A working theory? So, this is a mystery you are trying to solve,
Sonia said excitedly.
Hoping to,
Quinn added.
How exciting. That isn't the type of thing that you go around asking people, but I'll see what I can find out.
Could you? That would be wonderful. We think that she gave birth at Falls County Hospital.
I'll keep my ear to the ground,
she said, delighted.
It's ready,
Kali said, reappearing on the stairs.
Kali will show you to your room. I don't know if you two have eaten yet, but the dinner next to Glenn's place is open until 9.
Thank you. We'll check it out, I told her, feeling very at home. Approaching the foot of the stairs, I paused. I just realized I forgot the crutches in the truck.
Do you want me to go get them?
Quinn offered. I think I'm good, I said, offering one hand to Quinn while holding the railing with the other. Kelly waited for us at the top of the stairs. As soon as we got there, he asked,
where are you guys from?
East Tennessee University, I told him.
I was considering applying.
You should. Are you a junior, senior?
Junior,
he said, looking back at us puckishly. It's a good school, I told him, trying to shake his gaze that had locked onto us. Is this the room?
Yeah. If you need anything, let me know, he said awkwardly.
I think Titus is going to give us a tour tomorrow, I told him.
Oh,
he said, immediately looking disappointed. Is there anything in particular that we should see?
The falls are cool,
he said, smiling again. We'll check him out. Kali didn't leave. Anyway, thanks for showing us to our room.
Yeah, I'm down the hall if you need anything.
Got it, I said with a smile. When he walked away, we entered and closed the door behind us. I think someone has a crush, I said to Quinn, who looked at me amused.
Yeah, he couldn't stop looking at you.
Jealous?
Should I be?
Quinn asked with a smile. You never have to worry about me wanting to be with anyone other than you, I told him. Quinn smiled. Besides, I think he had a crush on you.
What?
Quinn asked, caught off guard. You didn't see that? He was looking at me because every time he looked at you, he would blush.
Seriously?
Quinn, how could you have not seen it? You're the most observant person I've ever met.
I guess I don't pick up on stuff like that,
he said, as if realizing it for the first time. So, what do you think? Is it possible that my mother was from here?
I can't tell yet. It's possible.
Falling into silence, we both turned our attention to the one queen-sized bed. Everyone keeps assuming we're a couple. I said, breaking the awkwardness.
Are we a couple?
I stared at Quinn. Do you want to be?
I told you how I felt about you,
Quinn said bashfully. And I was the one who kissed you, I reminded him.
So, are we?
He asked again. I want to be. I didn't add that I wanted to be for the rest of our lives.
I want to be too.
I smiled, hearing his words. Then I guess we are.
I guess we are,
Quinn said, giving me a smile that made me feel fantastic.
What do we do?
Should we get something to eat? It's been a while since that pizza.
Sure. And then what are we going to do after that?
Quinn asked with a faint blush. What do you want to do after that?
I don't know. Whatever you want to do,
Quinn said, making me hard all over again. I knew what I wanted to do. I just wasn't sure if he was ready for it. We'll play it by ear, I told him, feeling drunk with excitement.
Okay,
he said, now glowing red. Leaving our bedroom, we headed to the truck and drove to the diner. I was shaken. I was so turned on by what the two of us might do once we got back. Parking in front of it, we stared into the large windows as we approached. It was like any other in a small town. The space was aging yet clean. The decor hinted that it had been around since the 60s, and there were no other customers inside.
Sit anywhere. I'll be out in a second,
a stout man yelled from the kitchen when we entered. I guess we can sit anywhere, I repeated, taking Quinn's hand and leading him to a booth against the wall perpendicular to the windows. I never asked. Do you eat everything? It feels like something a boyfriend should know, I said, loving the sound of it.
I try to eat healthy, but I did stock your freezer with frozen pizzas and ice cream, and most of that was really for me, so...
I laughed. Got it. Quinn had his arms relaxed on the table in front of us as he leaned towards me. I leaned forward, wrapping my hands around his. I loved holding his soft hands. They were quite a bit smaller than mine. My mind flashed on what of his I might hold later. I was about to tell him what I was thinking when the stout man from the kitchen appeared in front of us and handed us menus. I let go of Quinn's hands and took the laminated sheet of paper in front of him.
We're out of everything but the fried chicken, burgers, and sandwiches. We might be out of sliced ham, but I'd have to check, he said, sticking around for questions. Well, I know what I want if you do. I'm starved.
Burger and fries, please,
Quinn said, handing the menu back to the stout man with the four-day stubble.
The same,
I told him, handing back the menu and looking to pick up where I left off. So, have you done anything with a guy before? I asked, feeling my hard cock pulse.
Nothing,
Quinn replied, glowing. At all?
No. Are you disappointed?
Why would I be disappointed?
I don't know. Because things might be easier if I had.
Well, I haven't done anything with a guy either, if it makes you feel better.
I don't know if it does.
I've thought about it, though. And I've thought about doing it with you.
What have you thought about?
I took his hands again. Let me see. I've thought about kissing you.
I've thought about that,
he said with a smile. I've thought about slowly undressing you and kissing you. There, I said suggestively.
Where?
You know where. I've thought about sliding my hand down your body and taking hold of you, I said, leaning in. I've thought about taking you into my mouth. I've thought about running my tongue along the rim of your cock and seeing if I can make you squirm.
Me too.
I stared into Quinn's eyes. I never wanted to look anywhere else again. When I couldn't resist him any longer, I leaned further across the table and kissed him. Our lips lingered on one another's, sending a chill down my spine. The kiss continued until the sound of someone grunting in disgust ruined the mood. Hearing it, I lowered to my seat, unsure how to feel. Still staring at Quinn, he knew what I was thinking before I said anything.
Let it go, Quinn pleaded. You know nowhere can be perfect.
Sure. I knew Quinn was right, but I didn't like him having to experience that. And as long as I was around him, no one would ever disrespect Quinn or our relationship. I slowly turned, searching the room for who had made the sound. Our waiter was back in the kitchen making our burgers. We probably wouldn't have been able to hear him over the sizzling if it had been him. And the only other person in the place was a young guy dressed as a busboy. I eyed the busboy, wondering how long it would take me to beat the crap out of him. The kid couldn't be more than 20 and clearly had a chip on his shoulder. His tousled dark blonde hair highlighted his incredibly squared jaw. His angular features spoke to how lean and muscular he was. And, more than anything, he seemed like he was looking for a fight. Looks like he found one.
You have a problem with something?
I said, getting him to lift his head and look at me.
What?
He said, using it as an excuse to bring his tray a little closer.
I said you got a problem with something?
I repeated, sliding out of the booth and showing him who he was talking to. By any comparison, I was a big guy. The only guys bigger were the 300-pound ones who hurled themselves at me on the field. This kid couldn't be more than 170 soaking wet. Yet, he kept coming like he had something to prove.
Yeah, I got a problem with something. I got a problem with you two. Are you going to do something about that?
Cage, don't.
Yeah, Cage, don't,
he mocked, sending my blood boiling.
You two come in here thinking you could do whatever? This ain't that type of town. We don't accept your type here.
This was it. I just needed to hear him say it, and I was going to make it the worst day of his life. And what type are we? I asked slowly, readying to pounce.
What type? The fat Nero,
the cook shouted, cutting him off.
Come here.
The guy shut up, but didn't look away.
I said, get your ass back here now.
I was ready to kick the snot out of him. But instead of him taking that final step, he looked to the ground and slithered back to the kitchen. I remained standing as I watched.
What are you doing talking to my customers like that? I said, what are you doing talking to people like that? Speak.
I don't know, he said, avoiding the cook's eyes.
You don't know, huh? Then get your ass out of here and don't come back until you figure it out. Go! And I'm docking you a day's pay for what you said.
I didn't say anything,
the guy pleaded.
You said enough. Now go before I change my mind and fire you instead.
The guy slithered out of the restaurant, staring me down as he left. I was willing to finish my meal with Quinn and meet him outside if he was going to wait. He didn't, though. And it wasn't long before he disappeared into the dark of the night.
I'm so sorry about that. The kid, he's got some problems. His mother's all messed up. I only keep him around for her. But let me assure you that we welcome all types in Snowtip Falls. In fact, you know what? Your dinners are on the house. Sorry about him again, really, the cook said before returning his attention to our meals.
Calming down, I returned to the booth and found Quinn's eyes. Have you ever experienced anything like that before? I asked him, knowing that I hadn't.
Not like that. But it's never too long before someone reminds me that I'm not like everyone else.
You mean that you're hotter? Is that the difference you're talking about? I asked with a smile, trying to rescue the mood.
No. But I can imagine that's an everyday problem for you,
he said, smiling at me. I chuckled. Maybe. But the only one I care who thinks that is you, I told him, meaning it.
I think it,
he said, allowing his soul to settle in my eyes. Good, I told him, barely able to keep my eyes off of him. It didn't take long after that for the cook to bring over our food and apologize again. The burger hit the spot, and it was good. With dinner out of the way, all I could think of was what we were going to do next.
Have a good night now. I hope to see you again, the cook said as we got up to go.
What are you doing? I whispered as Quinn retrieved a 20 from his wallet and left it on the table.
He said the burgers were on the house. I know, but we were the only customers here. It's a slow night for him. It's fine, Cage. Let's just go,
he said, leaving the money and ushering me out. Back in the truck, I turned to him. You really are a great guy, aren't you? Quinn gave me an adorably bashful smile, and I admittedly started thinking about all of the things I was going to do to him. I couldn't get back to the B&B fast enough. Luckily, the town didn't have any traffic lights or stop signs. And when we were out of the truck and behind the closed door of our room, I stared at the drop-dead gorgeous guy in front of me and finally let myself go. Staring into his eyes, I sprung across the room to him. With bubbling fury, I wrapped my arms around him, gripping the back of his head. Meeting his lips, I became lightheaded. I wanted to kiss him forever, and when he parted his lips and our tongues danced, my body sizzled, needing his. Quickly relieving him of his shirt, my lips returned to meet his earlobe. With my tongue tracing the ridges in his ear, he moaned. When it dipped in, touching the outside of his canal, he giggled. Again, nibbling his earlobe, I licked the dent where his chin met his neck. I wanted to have all of him. Kissing down his alabaster skin, I had that. I wanted to know every inch of him. And, stopping on his protruding collarbone, I used my crouch to whip him into my arms and to carry him to the bed. I loved holding him. This was the way I would carry him over the threshold when the time came. I never wanted to be apart from him again. So, when I lowered him onto the center of the bed, I climbed on top of him. With my thighs bridging his legs, he reached up and pulled off my shirt.
"Wow,"
Quinn moaned, staring up at me. His appreciation of my body drove me wild. Gathering his wrists, I pinned them above his head. Leaning forward, I kissed him. It was electric. It made every part of me tingle. I would have stayed there kissing him for the rest of the night if his smooth, lean chest didn't flood my mind. I wanted to hold every part of him. I wanted to know what it felt like to caress his body with my fingertips. So, ending our knee-wobbling kiss, I sat up and wrapped my large hands around his narrow frame. Gripping his sides, my thumbs were just inches apart. The feeling made me want to protect him. It made me want to circle my tongue around his areola. He groaned as I did. So I took it further by pulling his protruding nipple with my teeth. It drove him wild. Teasing him, his chest rose, and switching to the other nipple, his body danced with pleasure. Easing my knees further down the side of his legs, I had to extend my chin to kiss the dip that fell beneath his rib cage. My hands were on either side of his hips, tightening my grip, his jeans pressed against his flesh. Although I was slowly kissing down Quinn's stomach, my thoughts were entirely on my hands. They rounded his curves, slowly headed for his zipper. I froze when my left hand touched something poking out past his hip. It was his hard cock. I hadn't been prepared for how big he was. My breath hitched. Pushing my hand onto him, I explored him, unable to do anything else. He was long and thick. I squeezed him. When I did, his cock flinched. He was very hard. That made my cock flinch in unison. I had to touch his warm flesh. I needed to see him. So, moving my hands to his button, I unsnapped it, unzipped him, and pulled his jeans down and off of him. Kneeling at the end of the bed, I looked down at the beautiful guy lying in front of me in his boxer briefs. He looked up, yearning for my touch. His chest rose and fell, waiting for my return. When he saw me shift my gaze to his underwear, his cock twitched again. That was where he wanted me, and I gave him what he wanted. Pushing my hand over his protruding cock one last time, I grabbed the band of his shorts and pulled them down. His dick was so big that I had to help it out. But when it was free, it sprung erect. It was an impressive sight, and he was large. His length and girth rivaled mine. With him completely naked, I lost control. Pushing my hands up his thighs, both of my hands wrapped around his cock. There was more than enough of him still exposed to touch the tip of my tongue to the ridge of his head. When they connected, he inhaled. I didn't give him a chance to relax, teasing the ridge of his cock. His hands whipped down and grabbed the sheets. As he pulled at them, I flicked my tongue, tickling him. He could barely breathe. When he was ready to climb the walls, I did what I had wanted to do from the first time I pictured his hot body naked. Parting my lips, I pushed his head into my mouth. I could taste the tang of his pre-cum. It turned me on as much as it did him. I had Quinn's cock in my mouth. It was his most sensitive, secretive part, and it was inside of me, making us one. Pushing him as far into my throat as I could, I released one of my hands to push farther. To my surprise, my throat swallowed him. My tight muscles gripped the head of his cock, squeezing the life out of it. Quinn slapped the bed with pleasure. I was willing to stay like that for as long as I could, but he pulled my hair, wanting to be released. Pulling him out of my throat, he gasped, panting for air. He couldn't take being in my throat anymore, but I wasn't ready to stop increasing his pleasure. I wanted to see my boyfriend come. So, wetting my mouth as much as I could, I stroked him with one hand while washing the ridges of his head with my mouth. It didn't take long before his grip on my hair again tightened. He wasn't pulling me off of him. This time, he was encouraging me to go deeper, fucking him with my mouth. I jacked my hand faster. His body shifted, lifting his chest. His leg muscles tightened. Then, with the force of a fire hose, the hottest guy I had ever seen shot his cum in my mouth. It was like he would never stop coming. I drank it all. Even when his fluid ceased, his cock continued flinching. Any movement I made sent his body into spasm. I couldn't move, and he couldn't lift his arms. When it felt safe to pull away from him, I released him and crawled up his body. I wanted to hold him. I wanted to cradle him in my arms and feel his warmth against my bare chest. It was incredible to have his naked body in my grasp. I held him until he helplessly fell asleep. I loved this guy so much. Staring down at him, I couldn't figure out what I had done to be this lucky. Quinn was the love of my life. I was sure of it, and I didn't want to be apart from him again.